Our Hebrew lesson for this morning is from the book of Ruth, chapter 4, starting in verse 13. So Boaz took Ruth as his wife, and the Lord let her become pregnant, and she gave birth to a son. The women of the town said to Naomi, "May the Lord be blessed, who today has not left you without a redeemer. May God's name be proclaimed in Israel. God will restore your life and sustain you in your old age. Your daughter-in-law who loves you has given birth to a son. She's better for you than seven sons." Then Naomi took the child and held him at her breast, and she became his guardian. The neighborhood women gave him a name, saying, "A son has been born to Naomi." They called his name Obed. He became Jesse's father and David's grandfather. This is the word of God for you, the people of God. Thanks be to God. And so now, gracious God, in these moments, may the words of my mouth, may the meditations of all of our hearts together in this place and in all places be found pleasing to you. O Lord, you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. One of the most significant moments I experienced in college didn't happen in a classroom or at any sort of campus event. It happened at about 6:45 a.m. on a cold, snowy morning on the sidewalk outside of my dorm room. Many of you know, and I've shared in worship before, that I have a bone disorder that causes my bones to break easily, which means that I don't really do well with snow and ice. And this always made it tricky for me to get around campus in the winter. So whenever it would snow, some of my friends or even staff from campus safety would pick me up from my dorm room and help me get to class. Well, my senior year, we had gotten several inches of snow one night, but when I looked out my window early the next morning, I noticed that someone had already scraped the sidewalks. And it surprised me that someone was out scraping the snow for us that early in the morning when there were probably more important areas of campus that needed to be cleared first. But then I looked around and realized that the path they had scraped went directly from the front door of my apartment to the parking lot, and all of the other sidewalks were still covered in snow. So I thought that was strange. I asked my roommates, but they didn't seem to know anything about it. And then I thought maybe someone had just started scraping the sidewalks, but hadn't finished yet. But that didn't really make sense either. And so it finally dawned on me that someone had taken the time to scrape this path for me so that I wouldn't slip and fall on my way to class that morning. Well, I was really touched that someone would take the time and effort out in the cold early in the morning to do this for me, and I wanted to know who it was so that I could thank them. So that day, as I went around campus, I asked, but no one seemed to know anything about it. Well, it snowed again a few nights later, except this time, like a child on Christmas Eve, my eyes popped open. When suddenly I heard someone outside scraping the sidewalk. And so I jumped out of bed early that morning, still in my pajamas, and I peeked my head out the front door to find out who this mystery sidewalk scraper was. And there stood the dean of students at Georgetown College, Dr. Todd Gamble, bundled up in the cold, scraping the sidewalk right outside my apartment door. I was absolutely blown away. He never would have told me or anyone else that he was doing this, and I probably never would have known had I not opened my door early that morning. But there he was, quietly and faithfully working behind the scenes to make sure one of his students would be safe. It was a beautiful act of kindness for me that I will never forget. And I can't help but wonder if that is sometimes how God works in our lives. Not in loud or flashy ways, but quietly, behind the scenes, preparing the pathways of our lives in ways we might never notice if we didn't peek out the front door from time to time. I believe that this is how God works in the book of Ruth. Because as we named last week and up until this point in the story in Ruth 4, God has not had any kind of visible role or even a voice in the story. And this is in stark contrast to the ways that God has worked in other Old Testament stories. And especially at a time when Ruth and Naomi really needed God to intervene in their situation, in sickness, in death, in famine, and in loss, God has been nowhere in sight. Which maybe makes Ruth's story a little bit like yours and a little bit like mine. Because I don't know about you, but I have never encountered God in parting seas and burning bushes or walking on the water or in pillars of fire to guide me in the night, as much as I would really like that to be the case sometimes. But time and time again, what I have experienced is the quiet faithfulness of God working behind the scenes in my life, which is what I believe we see woven all throughout Ruth's story. As Catherine Sackenfeld writes, the book of Ruth presents God's working as hidden and mysterious, like yeast at work in a loaf of bread until all of it is transformed. At the beginning of Ruth 4, Ruth is married to a man named Boaz, who just happens to be a relative of Naomi's late husband. And soon they give birth to a son. God seems to have a part in this. In fact, it is the first and only time that God shows up in the text. But the interesting thing is that the women of the neighborhood go around telling everyone not that Ruth and Boaz have had a son, but that a son has been born to Naomi, as we see in verse 17, because they know that this baby boy changes everything for her. Now, remember from last week that Naomi is the one who came to town feeling as if God had taken everything from her, her husband, her sons, her well-being, any sort of hope for a future life. It's all gone. All she has when she gets back home to Bethlehem is her Moabite daughter-in-law, Ruth. And we're honestly not sure how Naomi feels about her. There's a good possibility that Naomi was embarrassed that her son had married a Moabite woman, something that was completely against the rules of the Israelite community. But when Ruth insists that she's going with her, Naomi finally gives in, and they return home to become what Naomi is sure will be the town gossip of all of Bethlehem. Did you see who Naomi came home with? A Moabite woman. Oh my gosh. But that's why I love what these women of the town say to Naomi here in chapter 4. First of all, Will Gaffney points out that these women actually give Naomi a blessing. They're not gossiping about her, but blessing her, something that is actually rarely given to women in all of Scripture. And as they are praising God for what God has done, they interject something significant about Ruth. These women recognize that Ruth, who began with all the cards stacked against her, loves Naomi and is actually worth more to Naomi than seven sons ever would have been. This is especially significant for these women to make a statement like this about a Moabite woman. One scholar says that their words offer the strongest possible expression of Ruth's worth in a culture that placed so much value upon men, and in a community who was specifically instructed to exclude Moabites even to the 10th generation. But there's even more going on beneath the surface here, because having seven sons was a saying that might be the equivalent of what it means to be hashtag blessed in today's culture. Having seven sons was like having a house with a picket fence and 2.5 children and a dog. It was living the dream. It was the picture-perfect life. And yet these women say to Naomi that Ruth the Moabite has been better to Naomi than a picture-perfect scenario ever could have been. Interestingly enough, this is the only time that the word love is ever mentioned in the story. And this love isn't referring to the couple getting married. This love is expressed from a daughter-in-law to her mother-in-law, a relationship that can be tricky even in the best of circumstances, right? And yet Ruth's love has quietly and yet faithfully carried Naomi throughout the entire story, even when she didn't realize it. And now it will carry Naomi's family line all the way to Jesus, as we see at the genealogy at the end of the book and at the beginning of Matthew. This moment in Ruth reminds me of the scene I love in The Wizard of Oz, when Glinda, the good witch, appears in her magical pink bubble and lands in the Emerald City at the end of the movie. Dorothy is so upset about how she will ever get back home to Kansas, but Glinda just smiles, and with a sparkle of her wand, she points to Dorothy's ruby red slippers, and she says to her, "Dorothy, you've had the power all along, my dear." And perhaps Naomi has too. She's had the power all along, because even when God's name wasn't mentioned, and even when God wasn't visible in the story, God has been faithful to her through the loving kindness of Ruth, who has never left her side. It causes me to wonder, in what quiet or behind-the-scenes ways can we look back and see that God has been faithful to us? Because I can't always see it in the moment, but looking back, in what ways can you and I look back on our lives and see traces of God's loving kindness with us that we just couldn't see at the time? Or are you and I praying for God to make a divine appearance in our lives, like a magic bubble dropping down out of the air? Are we hoping that God will show up like our fairy godmother? When the reality is that God has been there all along. You see, we can insist that God work on our timeline in the ways that we want. We can will for God to show up in the story with a magic wand and make everything be the way we expect it to be. Or we can learn to see the ways that God is already present. Maybe not as visible as we might imagine, but quietly, persistently, and faithfully walking alongside us. Perhaps we have just spent too much time like the disciples walking the road to Emmaus, completely unaware that Jesus has been right by their side the entire time. It's an important reminder for us that no matter where our stories take us, from Jerusalem to Emmaus, from Moab to Bethlehem, or from anywhere in between, there's no space in our world and there's no point in our lives where God's work is not in process. Maybe the task before us is to click our heels together, to take that brave next step forward, trusting that when we do, God will meet us there. I came across this beautiful ancient Hebrew retelling of the book of Ruth this week. And the writer shares the following interpretation of the story. She writes, "Boaz did his part. Ruth did her part. Naomi did her part too. So then, and only then, the Holy One said, 'Now I will do mine too.'" And it begs the question for us to ask ourselves today, and that is, what is our part to do? What are our sidewalks to be scraping in these days? It's been a good week. with the exciting news of children ages 5 and up finally able to receive vaccines. I know many of our parents are crying tears of joy with the feeling that it is going to be a very vaccinated Christmas. And I think this has all of us excited that hopefully life is going to begin to reemerge, maybe not quite back to normal, but back to a new normal as we take this next step. And as we think about our shared life as a church, all of this has me excited that we can finally begin to rebuild love in this community of faith in the coming year. But in order to do that, we all have a part to play in the story. And we need you. We need all of you, all of us doing our parts and engaged in the work of love that God is doing in this place. Maybe you will help care for our babies so that tired and weary parents can return to worship again. Maybe you will invest in our children and youth, knowing that they need relationships and connections with people of all ages across our faith family, especially after the past 2 years of separation. Maybe you will help with hospitality and greeting so that everyone who has the courage to step foot in the church feels welcomed wholeheartedly. Maybe you will serve on the monthly walls team or the safety team to help us use this space wisely and well. Maybe you will reach out to someone you haven't seen in a while just to check on them, to let them know you miss them and that they are an important part of our Highland family. Maybe you will help give to the Christmas toy store coming up in just a few weeks, or purchase an alternative gift card to support our mission and justice partners. Maybe you will pledge and give financially so that Highland can more fully and faithfully live out our mission in this place and beyond. Maybe you will help with Friday church, because not many recovery meetings happen in churches like Highland, and we have a unique opportunity to make a significant impact on Friday nights. But we need more people to be engaged in this hard and holy work. Maybe you will help us to reach out to folks who might love to experience a unique kind of faith community like ours, but they don't even know that Highland exists. And they have no idea that they would even be welcome in a church that will love them, not in spite of, but precisely because of who God has uniquely and beautifully created them to be. Friends, this list could go on and on. My question is, what will your part be? Because if we are going to rebuild love in this place after being apart for almost 2 years now, everyone's got to have a part. But what the book of Ruth shows us is that when Ruth does her part in the story, when Boaz plays his part, when Naomi plays her part, when Bruce plays his part, when Bill plays his, when Lily plays hers, when Jim Hawkins plays his, when Ainsley plays hers, when the deacons play their parts and the staff play their parts and I play my part, that's when God shows up and God says, I will play my part too. Highland, we have had the power all along. God has been faithfully present in this community of faith in incredible ways for 125 years or so now. And I believe that the time is right for us to bravely take that next step across the threshold and into the paths that God has quietly and faithfully been paving and preparing for us for quite some time. And when we do, Highland, when we do play our parts, I truly can't wait to see what God does next. May it be so. Amen.